All lines are now bridged.
Great, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the kickoff meeting for the EHR Reporting Program Task Force. We have a great deal to discuss today, so let me begin by officially opening the meeting with roll call. And I'm going to start with your co-chairs. Raj is out today, but Jill Shoemaker.
Jill is here.
Zahi Butt. Jim Jarrett. Brian Karras.
Present.
Joseph Kunich. Stephen Lane. Kenneth Mendel. Abby Sears.
Here.
Sasha is going to be late. Cheryl Turney. Stephen Waldron.
Here.
Okay, great. And I'll hand it over to Jill.
You're on mute, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. We're thrilled that you're part of this task force. We look forward to working with you. I'm going to pass it over to Michael, who's going to give us kind of the historical overview and the background, and then we're just going to dive into next steps and talk about the details. So thanks so much, Michael.
Sure. Thanks, Jill. If we can go to the next slide, please. Next slide. This is background. We all saw this yesterday at the HITECH meeting, but I just wanted to just reoriented us to that place, which is that this has been building for some time. We've done lots of stakeholder engagement. We've talked with public health departments. We talked with providers. We talked with vendors and developers. We talked with academic experts over the course of the sort of 2018 to 2020 timeframe. And that was when the urban team finalized the voluntary user reported measures, which, as I said yesterday, are out in the public domain now. And then we came back and did more stakeholder outreach and background research, particularly with measurement experts and developer side experts in 2020 and 2021. To get us to the point where we are now, which is where we have these draft targeted interoperability measures, and we're looking to do feedback by September. Next slide, please. So this is the charge. Just to remind you, this is our charge. This is what we're focused on today, to address information gaps in the health IT marketplace among all stakeholders, including ONC, and provide insight on how certified health IT is being used, and specifically to make recommendations to prioritize and improve the draft set of developer-reported interoperability-focused measures that are out right now for the EHR reporting program. There's this longer list of specific charges to review the developer-reported measures and supporting materials and provide comments and recommendations to prioritize the measures and suggest ways to improve them. And if we have time, and again, time is a short thing here because we only have about 6 weeks. If we have time, suggest additional measures if we feel really strongly about that. And that's a timing and prioritization decision that we will leave to the co-chairs to lead us through. But again, we want to get these recommendations approved for submission to the national coordinator by way of the HITECH at the September 9th meeting. So it's a lot of work, and I know we're going to have to prioritize and focus, and we might not be able to do all of it, but we'd like to do as much of it as we can. So I'm going to talk less and move to the next slide, please, and pass it back to Jill for the lead introductions and the roster.
Great. Thank you, Michael. So, again, just a couple of things I want to just say as the co-chair. I look at this roster and I look at the expertise and I'm just thrilled that you guys are here, and also the commitment that you've made to the sacrifice. I know that some of you have had to rearrange some of your Thursday schedules to make sure that you're available for this time. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. As we mentioned earlier, Raj isn't able to join today, so we're looking forward to him joining us at the next meeting, and we'll give him a chance to introduce himself at that time. But what I want to do right now is just go through and have everyone introduce themselves, give us the organization that you're from, and then also what perspective that you feel like that you bring to this group. What are you offering? What perspective as we go through this work? And I'll ask when you speak if you would share your video so that we could look at you, and then you can go off. But anytime that you are speaking, we do ask that that you will turn your video on, and then when you're done, you can turn it off. So I will start. I'm Jill Shoemaker. I am the Director of Clinician Measures at the American Board of Family Medicine. I'm also a registered nurse and a clinical informaticist. And the perspective that I'm bringing is the measure development perspective and implementation work, and then also the view from the clinician. So thank you. And I see that Zahid is up. So Zahid, could you introduce yourself, please? And you're on mute, Zahid.
Okay, afraid we have some technical details, because this platform is what it is, and you have to call in separately. So you should have gotten an email from Katie Campanelli and the ONC HITAC with the VIP line to dial in. Anyone else on the task force, that number should be in your invite. If it's not, email us and we will get it to you.
Okay, so Zahid, it seems like you need to dial in. So we're going to just hold on you. We'll come back to you. And let's hear from Jim.
I'm not sure Jim's going to be able to make today's meeting. This
okay.
is
the catch I work All right.
with.
Okay, thank you. Bryant?
Good morning. I'm Dr. Bryant Thomas-Karras. I'm a internal medicine physician, a biomedical engineer, and a public health informatician. I've got over 25 years now of service to public health informatics, and the chief informatics officer for Washington State Department of Health. I think I've been asked to join the committee to bring the pandemic response perspective, and as well as I think myself and Steve Lane were both on the task force for the public health data systems recommendations that went they passed yesterday and went forward to ONC. But my hope is to bring a perspective on what we can do to elevate some of those recommendations in their adoption within our EMR community. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian. We're glad that you're here. Thank you. Joe?
Good morning, and I apologize. I'm on a computer that doesn't have a camera. I'll make sure in the future I'm set up. But Joe Kunish, I'm the Vice President of Quality at Harris Health in Houston, Texas. We're the public safety net hospital for the Houston metro area. And my background, I've been always on the provider side and have assisted in many cycles of electronic clinical quality measure development, and serving on various national quality forum technical expert panels and working very closely with some of the CMS contractors that develop the measures. And I think, you know, from my perspective, I'm always looking at it from, you know, when this these types of requirements come to the point of operationalizing it, and, you know, kind of where the rubber meets the road, and how do we actually make that work in a clinical environment. So I'm looking forward to working with this committee.
Great. Thank you, Joe. We're glad that you're here. Steven? Okay, it looks like Steven is not on. Kenneth?
Hello. Let me see if I can turn my camera on. Ken Mandel. I direct a program at Boston Children's Hospital called the Computational Health Informatics Program, and I'm a professor of biomedical informatics and pediatrics at Harvard Medical School. And I come to the committee, I think, bringing a perspective around the Smart on Fire APIs and how those might play into the reporting requirements.
Excellent. Thank you, Ken. That perspective is so important. So thank you for being here. Abby?
Hi, Abby Sears. It's early here on the West Coast, so bear with me. I am a CEO here at OCHIN. We work with organizations that serve marginalized and vulnerable patient populations. We host electronic health records, and we also work with those records to actually work in those. So we sit at NQF and help with measures, because a lot of our patients are uninsured, or underinsured, or Medicaid, or sometimes dual-eligible patients. So the perspective we bring is working with small practices that don't have a lot of money, working with practices that serve a very complex patient population, and also a deep knowledge of working across multiple EHRs. I think we've worked with four different EHRs. So we have a broad knowledge around how to set things up, how to have them be as effective as possible with organizations that don't have the same level of resources to work with them.
Great. Thank you, Abby. Appreciate you being here. Sasha and Cheryl haven't joined the call, so we'll go to Stephen.
Good morning. My name is Steve Waldron. I'm a family physician informaticist with the American Academy of Family Physicians. I'm the chief medical informatics officer there. From a perspective, I would say it's mostly primary care, but I think the other thing is my experience of about 15 years working really in technical standards and on national policy and helping physicians adopt and use the technology on, I think in our membership, we have about 35 EMRs that make up 80%, so just understanding the interplay of those three. And sorry, my camera is using the wrong camera. I'll have to fix that. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you being here. We're going to circle back to Zahid.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Thanks. As you can tell, I don't follow instructions that well. I am actually a board-certified gastroenterologist, but have been in health IT for almost 30 years now. My interests, I am a user of EHRs in my prior life when I was in practice and also as CMIO at the hospital. Over the last 15 years or so, I've been focused much more on the quality measurement space, especially eCQMs, and have a lot of deep understanding of all the data requirements from the time of capture all the way to the time of reporting. And so perhaps some of that experience might be helpful in some of this reporting discussion. Look forward to seeing where I might contribute, but more importantly, to learn things myself. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of it.
Great. Thank you, Zahid. We're glad that you're here, too. So I think that's everyone that, that's on the call so far. And as you can see, just from the introductions, we have such a great diverse group. I think we have lots of different perspectives at the table. So I think that our discussions are going to be rich. So I welcome everyone to share your opinions when we go through the measures. The format that we will do is when you would like to speak, there's an option for you to raise your hand. So if you would raise your hand and then we could call on you. And then it's not necessary to share your video if you're not talking. Some have issues with bandwidth, so sometimes that's a problem if too many people are sharing their screen. So, but when you do speak, we do ask that you would share it. So next screen or next slide. Next slide, please. This is our schedule for our work. And as you can see, it's a lot more condensed than other task forces. We have a lot of work to do in a short amount of time. The way that the measures are set up, we're going to spend one day for each domain. So there are 4 days that are set for each domain. So what that means is we'll be tackling 2 to 3 measures on each call. So as you can see, that timeline is really tight, and we must wrap up the recommendations for our presentation in time for the high-tech meeting, which is on September 9th. We have 2 days, September 2nd and September 16th, that don't have an agenda quite yet. We're going to keep that open, and then as time goes on, we'll decide as a group how we would like to use those days or if we would need those days. So are there any questions about the schedule? And seeing no hands raised, we'll go to the next slide, please. So these are the measures. Some of you may have seen them. Definitely if you were on the meeting yesterday, the high-tech meeting, these were presented. The initial measures that ONC is focusing on are focused on interoperability. So the emphasis that took the high priority were patient access, public health information exchange, clinical care information exchange, and the standards and adoption conformance. So the proposed 10 draft measures that you see underneath each of those domains, those are the measures that we're going to be tackling. So you can see that the next meeting, we have 3 measures that we're going to be digging into. The draft measures are the ones, these are based on the ONC priorities. There was stakeholder feedback, expert review, and specifically the draft measures draw on lots of resources or sources to feed into how these were developed and then eventually proposed. So there was a lot of market research that's already been done. There's expert interviews that have taken place, targeted stakeholder discussions. So our task really is to take all of that work that has already been done and really dig into the details and think about implementation and things like that. So next slide, please. So this is an example of one of the measures that we'll be reviewing, and this is kind of the format that you'll see. And you'll see on the left is the measure title, there'll be the numerator and the denominator, and then on the right will be the details of either implementation or reporting or calculation. So there'll be a lot of things for us to consider and to think about as we dig into the measures. Next slide, please. This is a list of the questions and for us to think about. So in the context of our charge to provide the recommendations to prioritize the measures and to suggest ways to improve the draft measures, we've been given this list of questions and criteria to use for our evaluation. So So these include evaluating the mechanics of the reporting, such as the frequency or how the reporting is completed. We're going to look at the reporting by subgroups, including customer data, what are the impacts of that, what level of reporting is needed for each measure. We'll also review the aspects around measure specifications, which includes the numerators, denominators, and then also the populations that should be included for each measure. We'll address feasibility in accessing the data, analyzing the data, and then the reporting of the data that's needed for each of the measures. So we'll see if that's feasible for each measure and each data point and for the populations that are included in the measure. We'll review the feasibility about reporting and if that's feasible for now. And if it's not, we'll consider would it be feasible into the future and what would that look like. And then finally, we'll discuss the burden, any biases that may be in the measure, and then the value of the measure itself or the results. So I want you to take a minute now and just kind of think through this. And I want to open up the discussion and get your feedback. This is basically the criteria we're going to go through for each measure. So do you see things that are missing from your perspectives? Are there gaps that we should add? Things that maybe we should have elaborated on. So if you have a feedback, just raise your hand and we'll get that discussion started. And Bryant?
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
So one aspect that I'm wondering is if there's a consideration of potential population impact. I know the goal of these measures is to assess and ensure that there's interoperability of the EHR systems. But I'm wondering if, obviously the example you chose with the immunization measure has tremendous population impact. I'm wondering if there are others that aspect could be taken into account.
So are you referring to like a stratification of the measure, breaking it down by different populations?
In terms of if we're short on time of deliberating on all these measures or considering other measures, if there could be some consideration of ultimate impact. One of the things that I'm hoping to propose to the schedule and the process is that we perhaps review some of the recommendations that came out of the Public Health Data Systems Task Force or improvements that were needed, and to try to take into account in this task force, what could our measures do to help elevate or improve gaps that were identified, namely, and I think most notably, obviously the immunization measure would be of utmost importance right now, but if people can think back 9 months, 6 months when testing results were not getting to public health in a timely manner, and when they were getting to public health, they were missing the address and phone numbers of those individuals. So a measure that assesses completeness and data quality of the public health reporting measures that are already part of the certification process, I think would help us be prepared for the next wave or the next pandemic.
Yeah, I think that's really good feedback. I think that's definitely something that we can put on that list of potential recommendations for future measures. And there are a future measures that we'll get to in a little bit that ONC is already considering. Right now, the charge that we have is the measures are already given to us. So we won't be able to add any additional measures currently but if there is evaluation criteria for those measures, so kind of the issues for those measures specifically when we review them, if there's a piece that you see that we can, potential an issue that would make the measure better, we can definitely talk about that. Any other comments?
This is Steve.
Abby?
Just maybe.
Oh, sorry, I see Abby's hand.
Hi. I guess recognizing that these have been given to us as measures, I would just say what I'd be thinking about is how to leverage any other existing metrics that exist to help facilitate the adoption rates. So can we look to see if other agencies asking for these same measures are, how do we make this as easy as possible for the adoption and uptake of these metrics? I think that there's a certain amount of fatigue in the world, in the provider world, just in general, let alone from the pandemic. So how do we help communicate about this and why they matter? I also think there needs to be a strong communications plan and a strong strategy about the why, so that we can help them want to actually do this as well.
Thanks, Abby. Yeah, definitely. And I think as we review each of the measures, we can definitely look at the burden that is involved in collecting the data. Any potential burden, we can definitely address that. Maybe Gary from Urban, could you speak to the reuse of the measures? And fill us in a little bit more on that, how we got to where we are.
Sure, and I'll invite Fred to also participate. Julie, are you mentioning specifically the methodology and that was involved? And that did include looking at other measures that are available and captured from other entities, other required reporting requirements. Also, as Michael mentioned, we did have extensive discussion with the stakeholders, including developers and also on the provider side relative to the issues of burden and the like. For the reuse of measures, obviously we looked at building off of promoting interoperability and as I mentioned, looked at, how many different reporting requirements from CMS and other entities that we looked at and how they might complement and how they may be reused. Fred, did you have a comment?
Yeah, and I also just wanted to clarify, I think, as you mentioned, minimizing burdens for providers, and I think it's important just to clarify that these measures would be collected from the developers themselves, not from individual providers. And so our goal, obviously, is not to place any burden on, users of certified health IT products as much as possible. And that's why that's one of the areas that we're trying to get feedback on in terms of these measures. Are, what is the burden on the developers, and is there any potential for there to be kind of like a spillover burden on the users as well? So that's obviously something that we'll be aiming to minimize. In terms of like reusing existing data, the sources that Gary mentioned, we also looked into a lot of existing like survey data resources, and depending on the measure, we found that there were just a lot of limitations in terms of, not being able to get data measured at, a certified product level or at the developer level. A lot of these are more aggregated and have limited sample sizes, or are limited in terms of the type of information that they collect.
Thanks for adding that more context. Go ahead, Ken.
So I guess I have a philosophical question about the measures. So let's say that we require that a developer implement reporting capacity to an immunization registry, to use one of Brian's domain examples. Why would there be less than 100% reporting? In other words, what would a 50% reporting rate tell us? Seems it would tell us that the software is broken. Why wouldn't we expect why wouldn't we be measuring that, you know, immunizations are reported? I'm interested in other folks' feedback. It's a little different than the meaningful use era, where the reporting was from the providers and the expectations were lower. But if we want high expectations, wouldn't it be simply that all immunizations are being reported to a registry?
So one of the urban teams, do you want to speak to that?
So I guess,
Michael.
I mean, Michael, were you about to say something?
Well, I'll just jump in from this sort of policy perspective, is that the part of that is, yes, we would like 100% of the reporting to be electronic and, more importantly, valid, which is sort of the next step, but not what we're doing here at this point, nor really can we, I don't think. But I think some of the detail is that we're not going to see 100%. And looking at the way that data shapes out, whether it's, you know, state-by-state variation or it's provider-type variation, is going to give us important information about the interoperability marketplace. And, you know, if there's some developer that, say, isn't very good at it, even if the purpose of the program isn't to compare them, it will have the effect of sort of highlighting to that developer that they need to think about their product in a way that, you know, improves the marketplace in general. And Fred, I think you can talk more to the sort of data side of that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And it's, I guess on the data side, in terms of the reporting, if it's, you know, it would be reported by the developers. It wouldn't necessarily, it's not, you know, we're not collecting data directly from the registries themselves. So I'm not, I guess I was a little bit, maybe a little bit confused on the question in terms of why would we expect not to get 100% reporting on the developers? I mean, obviously, that would be the goal, and it's part of the requirement to maintain in terms of the maintenance of certification for the Health ID product.
This is Crystal. I just wanted to add that I think something we heard during the stakeholder process is that for a lot of the meaningful use measures, it's kind of limited that they're yes, no, when in reality, the stories we heard, we know that it's not always yes, no. So I think part of the intent was to collect a little more detail.
All right, thank you. I think that really helps. And I, there was a comment in the chat, talking about the patient perspective and really understanding the burden that it is on the patients. And there was a mention of to convey a why for the measure, driving force should be that patients and their families can get the information that they need to make educated, informed decisions about their care, as well as the work that they need to do to live with their diagnosis. So I think that's a really good point of to remember that these measures are to help inform decisions. And so it's our charge to really look at the burden from all perspectives, the burden of the collection of the data or the reporting of the data on all people that could be impacted by that measure. So so those are really good points. Steve, you had your hand up.
Yeah, just a couple of things. So I was going to talk about, but I think Abby hit on most of my points about just making sure that we look, are there, in that second to last bullet on the slide, is kind of making sure that, are there other alternative data sources? You know, I appreciate folks talking about not wanting to burden the end users and really get a reporting from the developers, but I think if we really want to get to the point of the understanding the semantics and the utility, unfortunately, our current technology doesn't allow us to measure that. We almost have to ask the frontline clinician, you know, was the data that you got actually usable? So I think there is going to be some of that, because that gets to the last point of saying what provides the kind of the insight and the value. So what is the purpose of these? So I think, one, making sure that there's not already transparency in the marketplace for that capability. So if the end users can really understand that level of interoperability without the measure, then we probably shouldn't do the measure. But if we can't, then that's, I think, where we should prioritize the measures. Last thing, just based on the just last couple of comments, especially one about the patient piece, makes me think about, at a really high level, what decision are these measures and these reporting supposed to inform? Is it purchasing of EHRs, or is, because right now we have just a high level of adoption and the switching and substitutability in the marketplace is very limited. So I just wonder about us two thinking about, well, how would this particular measure help somebody make a decision? What is that decision? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And Michael, could you speak a little bit about that, about, you know, how we can expect these measures to be used after we've made the recommendation and handed them back to ONC?
Sure. Thanks. I mean, as we said, you know, the plan is that the recommendations will form the basis for the urban team and the ONC team to revise and come up with a hopefully more, if not perfect, at least better set of measures that will then, in 2022, ONC will start the, you know, the very long rulemaking process with notice and comment, which will probably refine the measures even more. And then, you know, there'll be an effective date somewhere a couple years in the future that will give the developers time to integrate everything into their system. But then the real goal is that we can see sort of the panoply of the marketplace, in a comparable way. And also that, you know, because again, these measures would be reported year on year or biannually or however often y'all recommend, the idea is to sort of trend those data and see where the marketplace is moving. And again, as I said yesterday, the idea is that this program will be evolving over time. So, you know, if the measures that we come up with in the first place for a couple of years look stagnant, you know, similar to meaningful use, we'll retire them as topped out or whatever, or adjust them. The real goal is, I think, less the cures sort of had that bifurcated purpose. One side was really the sort of purchaser's guide to EMRs, and that really is reflected in the voluntary user criteria, because, you know, the developer data isn't going to be the best for that kind of thing. The sort of user provider data would be better for that. Whereas this is much more to inform what's going on with the technology in terms of objective, what does it do? And what doesn't it do? And what's missing? And this is me personally rather than ONC, I think, a little bit of ONC is, you know, there's not just the what is the current market doing, but also what are the gaps in the current market that a new technology developer could say, hey, look, there's something missing and I know how to fix it. And especially in a more modular environment that FHIR enables, that becomes a possibility. I hope that helps.
I'd like to just go back to my earlier comment for a second.
And who is that speaking?
This is Ken. Let's say we're looking at percentage of immunizations that are supported. Is that the whole requirement for immunization reporting, or is there another requirement that immunizations be reported? And then this is one of the quality metrics for that requirement, or is this itself the requirement that's going to signal to a technology developer that they need to be able to create an immunization reporting tool? Because I could see a requirement that immunizations, that 100% of immunizations are reported, and then have a variety of quality measures to see whether the process is a good one, including the number that gets through, and if there are failures, why there are failures, including the data quality, and whether they're properly formed messages and whether they can be integrated into the vaccine registry.
Thanks, Ken. Michael, can you just address that, and then I want to make sure we get to Zahid and Joe, who have had their hands up for a while.
Sure, thanks. I think that it's a really good question. I think that unfortunately, we have this very limited scope here, and it is a bit of a. Some music. There's sort of the nuanced difference between what these measures are and what a traditional quality measure would be, because of course these are not measures of, or designed to be measures of what providers are doing. There's going to be some, obviously, dependency on user activity for, if a group of users simply decides they don't want to develop, submit their data electronically, then their developer is going to have to have their measures reflect that. My guess is that kind of thing will come out in the noise. But, because this is really, the design here is to reflect, is interoperability happening at sort of the national scale of the technology that is certified to the individual, to the various criteria that are relevant to the measures? I think that, again, the focusing on what the measures that we've got here do, and if they're, and obviously if one of the measures that we have here or three of the measures that we have here is completely inadequate to the task, y'all please tell us and tell us what we should replace them with. I think, that's obviously within the purview here, because if we've made some terrible mistake, we need to know. Brian?
Hi, this is Seth Kaczynski.
Hi.
From ONC, I just wanted to jump in, I think, to maybe try to, answer the question of kind of what are we going to use the measures for. I think a number of the measures are really about, we set policy, particularly in the CARES Act final rule, and these measures, as you can see, align to various certification criteria. And because this captures how the products are being used in the field as opposed to in a testing lab, I think that's a key feature of this program that we don't really have as a vehicle currently within ONC or in understanding how the products are performing in the market. So to your question, this would tell us from a functionality standpoint if folks are reporting, but that might inform a future requirement that would tell us if everyone is reporting then you don't need, you know, a further incentive or requirement around a particular functionality. But, you know, the policy intent will have been achieved there, but it may not have been. And I think that's to I think it was Ken's question that it may inform that some other requirement might be necessary if there is a gap in the market. We're not seeing a functionality being used, or there isn't reporting. I don't know, Ken, if that addresses the question you were raising.
So I think you mentioned that it could be a manual process, but if we're giving providers credit for using a manual process, how are we measuring interoperability?
So these are vendor measures. Yeah. So our ONC folks can definitely jump in, but these are vendor measures. So these won't be clinician measures. Clinicians themselves won't be reporting these measures, but the vendors will as part of their certification requirement. Anyone from ONC want to elaborate on that if needed?
Sure. I mean, that basically says that this sort of, and one of the questions that's on this list is in terms of the level of reporting, you know, the thought here is that this would be at most granular reported at the product level. There are some cases where it might be at the developer level if they only have one or two products and they're all certified at the same criteria. But the reporting at the client level would be weird, but it might be valid for some of the measures. I think really that this isn't a measure of the provider's performance. This is a measure, and as I said, you know, some providers may decide they don't want to do electronic something or other that would affect the numerator of a measure for their developer. But I'm pretty sure that would come out in the wash in terms of, it seems unlikely that there would be an uneven distribution across products of people who are stubborn. And if there is, that would be an interesting thing to learn. But I think the point really is that this is about measures that the developers are going to report. And again, ideally, and this coming from my background as a SQL nerd, completely in the background of their databases without, after the initial development, any real need to call new queries that aren't essentially built for the purpose of these measures, which is why we plan on such a long window of final regulation to requirements.
Thanks, Michael. I want to move on to Zahid and then Joe. Zahid, if you want to go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Jill. So I think my question somewhat relates to the most recent two or three questions, and I'm still trying to process through, because when you sort of, at least in our experience, look at it from a vendor perspective in terms of how the measures are performing, if the measures are not performing well for a specific, you know, hospital or a practice, it is either that the performance itself is not good, or there could be a myriad reasons why the performance is not what is expected, given what the practice or the hospital thinks they are performing at. And they could be issues for, you know, mapping issues, they could be issues of logic issues, there could be a whole bunch of different issues. So I think if the goal is really to find a way for this to be differentiating between different products or even vendors, you really can't get away from somehow looking at that performance and differentiating what causes the lower performance if that's the trend that's observed in a specific product or a vendor. And I don't know if these sort of measures are designed to capture that nuance or that differentiation if that's sort of the end goal, to see if there is a ability to differentiate between, and a lot of times it's the technology, but also the related services that go along with it that create the more holistic environment that at least is not a technical issue if the performance is not good, because then there is the issue of, well, why is the gap in care not as high? It's not a measurement problem. It's really a performance problem. So I think that the other issue is that the level of reporting, if it's at the developer level and somehow it's based on some sort of aggregate performance, if that's what's being looked at, then that's a very, very significant effort, and you just can't take from all your clients the data and then aggregate it at a measure level if you are looking at a quality measure, for instance. So I think that this is where it's going to be the tricky part, because the existing certification does to some extent get at the basic capability question. But if the question is how does it perform in the field, these are the nuances and questions that would have to be done, because then it'll somehow have to be based on what the outcome of that performance measure is, whichever measure it is, whether it's immunization or another different measure.
Thanks, Saheed. Jill?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Real quick, because I do need to drop off for another meeting here at 10. I did put it in the comment box there. I think if there's a way for us, you know, at least in the recommendations, if not as we go through these measures, look at minimal capturing the social determinants of health, you know, with a big focus on health equity now, thinking like immunizations, not only, you know, that ability to report immunizations, but how are you able to look at it? And it might fall under that subgroups appropriate, you know, demographics, characteristics. But I think, again, with the importance of that right now, and myself working in the public health safety net system, we're really looking at that if we're treating all our patients equitable. And so that is something that would be extremely useful for us. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Well, thank you, everyone, for this feedback. And I think as we dig into each individual measures, there's going to be specific questions and issues that are going to come out up for each specific measure. So as we go through, you know, as we review the measures individually, if there are aspects or issues that we see in the measure that we haven't captured in this particular list, we certainly can add that. So just keep that in mind. This isn't, you know, in stone and we can't change it. So we definitely want as much feedback and as many perspectives as possible to make sure that we're giving ONC, you know, really good recommendations from our review. Next slide.
Jill, maybe my hand isn't working in the app.
Who is this?
This is Bryant talking. Are you able to hear
Bryant,
me?
Bryant, thank you. No, I didn't see your hand, so thank you for speaking up. Go right ahead.
I've been trying to patiently wait, so my hand must not be working. So our apologies if the technology is failing on this government-issued laptop. I wanted to respond to a couple of Ken's comments early on in terms of, you know, a foundational consideration of, you know, shouldn't it be 100%? And the answer is no, it shouldn't be, because we really don't want an immunization reporting rate from the dermatologist if the dermatologist doesn't deliver vaccines. And so I think there is, and one of your staff commented on that there could be physician type variation or clinician type variation that has a impact on how particular measures are utilized, such as the immunization reporting one. And my comment is I want to be cautious of the unintended consequence of potentially imposing a new reporting requirement that we could inadvertently undermine the ultimate goal in two different ways. We could result in people choosing to not give vaccines so that they can get out of a particular reporting requirement, or get out of a need to implement that piece of the technology with their vendor, and we wouldn't want to see that inadvertently take place. And oftentimes, there's unintended costs for the implementation of, especially on the small providers. We've had a lot of issue and feedback from small providers who are delivered the same exact cost for a five person practice as a health system that has 100 practitioners and a much larger budget, wanting to interface with public health to do the immunization measure, and that those kinds of unintended burdens can have an impact on adoption. On the one of the participants in this process that I think doesn't seem to be reflected in the measure or in the burden consideration is the public health agencies themselves. Meaningful use and promoting interoperability is coming to an end in September, and public health agencies are losing access to matching funds from CMS to support queries on and audits of the existing measures that we have. So there's going to be a new ongoing burden of public health participating with individuals in writing letters and dealing with the consequences of these or reporting requirements, and I think that there needs to be some consideration of that. One in particular, reviewing the immunization registry reporting. The requirement for the bidirectional querying of the IIS, I'm concerned that requirement being in there could result in overwhelming our public health systems, in that there needs to be careful consideration that those bidirectional queries are only coming from people who could actually do something meaningful with that information that would result in a public health benefit. Otherwise, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of queries a day hitting against our system that's already being taxed, that have no potential possibility of resulting in a change in care. Thank you. I've got a couple of other comments, but I'll hold them until we get into the discussions on those elements.
Brian, thank you for speaking up and adding that additional information. It was very, very helpful, and I apologize again for missing your hand. I think we've got that fixed now, so I think it wasn't you. It was definitely on our side. So this is the template that we're going to use as we go through each of the measures. And as you can see in column A, those are the issues that were on the previous slide. And again, we can add some as we go through each measure if there's other issues that come up. So we'll be using this during our discussion. Next slide, please. So I want to open up the discussion again about just how we're going to tackle this work. So as you've seen in our meeting dates, we don't have a lot of time. And so we want to make sure that the discussion is robust. We want to make sure that it's targeted and that we're able to get through the measures that we need to get through during the discussion. We want to make sure that all the voices are heard, all the perspectives are brought forward. And so I want to just reach out to the group and say, I need your feedback on, you know, how do you best see that we should prepare, that each task member should prepare for the discussion? And then how should members be assigned measures so that we can make sure that the measure is presented in a way that brings in the issues from, you know, one perspective, and then it gives others the opportunity to respond to that perspective and also add additional thoughts. And then also about the template that you just saw on the previous slide, how should it be displayed? Should we have someone that is taking notes in real time, and how best do you see that we could accomplish this scope of work in the limited amount of time that we have? So I will ask if just raise your hand and we'll get this discussion started. I think I see Steve's hand. So, Steve?
Yeah, just one thing on the kind of assignment. Some of the things that have been helpful in some of the projects that I've participated in is to have two individuals assigned. So there's a primary and a secondary. So you get two different perspectives, but one person is supposed to present the measure and talk about it, and the other is to help, you know, facilitate the conversation and add their point from a different perspective. So that way you're not have to look at all, you know, be lead on all the measures, but you have a backup to help you.
Okay, thanks. And just what that would look like is we have 10, I think there's 10, we have 10 on the task force, and there's 10 measures. And so if we did that, that would be each person would be digging into the two measures to make sure that they're presenting that thought. Are there others? Bryant?
So I'm obviously hoping, in the answer to should other stakeholders or experts be invited, I'm hoping that the ONC has already reached out to ERA, the Immunization Registry Association, to ask them to join for the discussion on that particular measure, as the public health one comes up fairly early in our schedule. If not, I can help in assisting lining up representatives to join us for those discussions. Please let me know, Jill.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's definitely something that we want to make sure that we address is if there are perspectives that we don't believe that are represented, and if there's outside voices that would be helpful, yes, I think that would be definitely something that we'd want to do, invite them to that particular meeting to present their perspective on the meeting or the measure that we're discussing. Thanks, Bryant.
This is Michael. I'll just jump in.
Go ahead, Michael.
Quick, if I can.
Yeah.
We are. we did, I think, Rachel Ivey here at ONC, who's our public health guru, is reaching out to IRA, but any help and encouragement is always welcome. Bryant, I know you have much deeper contacts than most. So if you encourage them or wanted to, you know, as a task force member with, you know, in coordination with Jill and Raj to reach out personally, that would be awesome, especially since the timeline is short. I also sent an email to the IIS folks at CDC. Hopefully they'll listen in and provide any info that they can as well.
Great. Thank you.
Any other feedback about pre-work and being assigned measures to present? I don't see any hands up. Okay, does anyone from ONC or Urban want to add anything to this discussion?
I don't really have anything to add. I mean, this has been fabulous so far. I really thank you all again and look forward to hearing more. Just thoughts. My only thought is really, you know, I think, as Jill has been saying, you know, focus and tight timeline, but we can do it. And I know everybody here has a million ideas. And remember, this is only the beginning.
Yeah. I do want to get some feedback and thoughts on how to be assigned. So I don't think we got specifics to that. So Steve had mentioned about, you know, a primary person and a secondary person. And so that would be, you know, you would have two measures that you would be responsible for, you know, being kind of really in the know on and digging into some of the details of that. So I'm interested to hearing about how you would like to be assigned those, whether we should just randomly assign them to you or if we should get the list out and get your feedback on which ones that you would like to be a part of and then see how we can then internally kind of organize that and make sure that we have all the measures covered. Anybody have comments on that?
This is
Cheryl. Fred, just a second. Cheryl, got her hand up.
All right, thank you. I like the idea of putting the list out and letting people provide some input as long as that doesn't take too long. I know I, for one, don't know that I can speak to all the measures, so just being assigned one from the payer perspective, you know, may not be the best way to use the input that I would be able to provide. So that's just my take.
Okay, that's really helpful. And yes, this is going to have to be a really quick turnaround because next Thursday is our first meeting and we have three measures that we will be talking about on next Thursday. So I'm going to enlist my folks on the task force that are helping organize the meeting to help us get that out and have some quick turnaround. Fred?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, and my only recommendation would be to assign people to kind of domains as opposed to the specific measures. And, you know, each of the domains has about two, some have three measures, and a lot of them are interrelated. So, you know, like it makes sense to assign, you know, two people to public health and two people to patient access and kind of work along those lines. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else have comments? I saw Steve's hand up, but it looks like he's lowered it.
Yeah, Jill, the only thing I would say is that may make sense today to show those three that we're going to be talking about next Thursday and see if we can at least assign a principal to each, give people enough time.
Okay. Great recommendation. Can we pull up that list of measures and at least the first three that we're going to be speaking about next next week, and then we just have a few. We have about 5 minutes. Looks like it's slide 12. 10. Slide 10. Okay. All right. Thank you. So patient access is next week. And so the three measures are the use of different methods for access to electronic health information, use of third-party patient-facing apps, and then collection of app privacy policy. We'll need at least one person for each of these. It would be best if we could assign at least two people to each of these. One is if you want to take the primary. So I'm open for volunteers if you want to be the primary on any of these. Any volunteers? I'm not seeing any hands.
Hi, this is Sasha, and I apologize. I was joining the conversation late after a conflict. Are we picking domains based on our expertise or based on our availability for this day of conversation?
It's really either. And so you don't necessarily have to be an expert in this particular thing, but you can bring it from your perspective. Sure. So if you don't feel like you're an expert on third-party patient-facing apps, you can evaluate it from your perspective and then present it, you know, from your perspective. And then definitely, digging into the different criteria about reporting and then the level of data analysis and then others can, it'll help prompt conversation for others to get feedback in. Of course, it is always helpful if you have, you know, more expertise, but I don't think it's a criteria for that.
Sure.
Brian? Oh, go ahead. Were you going to follow up on that?
I'm happy to be assigned any of the topics. I know, you know, I feel like the developer expertise will be pretty important to determining, like, the feasibility of the different metrics. And so I'm happy to contribute on whichever topic is useful to the group. Well, on all of them, hopefully, but to sort of take point on whichever one needs an assigned person.
All right, thank you. Bryant?
If it isn't obvious, I'd like to volunteer for the public health information exchange measures, the two IIS that are, you know, the meeting app, I presume. But I really would like to you know, encourage, I want to have it not be a unilateral discussion. So if either Abby from the implementation perspective or Sasha from the vendor perspective would like to join me in digging in on that, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
And who was that speaking?
This is Sasha.
Okay, thanks, Sasha. Abby has her hand up.
Yeah, I'm happy to help, Bryant. I just wanted to say that. But I also said I'm happy to take the clinical care information exchange if that's helpful. But I'm also one of those people, you can just give me whatever you want me to actually do. I'm happy to take an assignment as well. I'm probably less useful on the FHIR adoption and conformance, but I'd take a stab at it for you.
Thanks, Abby. Okay, so we just have another minute before we need to go to public comment. So I think what we're going to do, we're going to send you guys some homework. So expect an email later today. With very detailed, specific information on your feedback, and we'll try to begin to assign any of those measures. And then definitely if anyone can volunteer for these first three patient access measures that would be really helpful to get us started, but we will send an email out and you'll hear more from that later today. So now I want to just open up for public comment.
Great. Thank you, Jill. Operator, can you open the line for public comment, please?
Yes. If you would like to make a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for a participant using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star keys. We will pause for one moment to see to poll for questions. There are no comments at this time.
Great. Thank you, Jill.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your time and your attention. And again, just thank you for making yourselves available during this time, having to rearrange. We really respect your time, your expertise, what you bring, and the commitments and the sacrifices that you're making. So thank you again, and we look forward to the follow-up emails and seeing you next Thursday. So unless there's anyone from the ONC side that needs to say anything, I think we can just give me a thumbs up or something if we're good to end the meeting.
It looks like from the chat, Grace wanted to say something in public comment but had some phone trouble. I don't know if the operator can help her or if she can just do the written as she suggested.
We're checking on that, Michael, but she can email us the comment as well.
Okay.
But we're checking on that right now to see if she's on the phone. She hung up.
She hung up. Oh, she's typing.
Okay, we'll put the email in there. Katie's typing it right now.
Fabulous, thanks. Wouldn't be fun without technology.
Right.
Adventure. Says the guy who can't use video. but I think that's really fabulous. And we'll reconnoiter soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone.